Deuteronomy chapter 10. Appreciate the singing. Thank you for coming back tonight. I sure do appreciate it. Believe it or not, I'm still talking about what we might call New Year's resolutions. I'm not calling it that. I was intending to preach this last Sunday morning, and then the Lord moved in and had different plans. As far as I know, this would be the last message. Talking about 2020 vision, being able to see properly. In 2020, we should want to see correctly. Dealt with the fact of needing to reveal our self. Self is our worst enemy. And not only reveal self, but reveal Satan. And now tonight, I want to try to talk about 2020 vision and seeing the Savior, seeing the Savior clearly. Notice what it says in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Oh, that verse would be true of me, would be true of all of us. I do know this, according to what that verse says, that's what our fathers want, and that's what the Lord's want. So I'll say it like I've said before. What does the Savior want to see happen in this year, 2020? We need to see what He wants to happen, and we need to see clearly what His will is. Notice the verse says that His desire is to fear the Lord thy God. I believe with all my heart the Lord wants to reveal our sin, to reveal to us our failure. Job said, make me to know my transgression and my sin. Will you notice what that says? Here's a man, as far as we know at that time, the most godly man on earth. And his prayer is, Lord, show me my sin. Show me how I'm failing you. The closer you get to the Lord, the more interested you'll be about that. Those who don't care about how close or far they are from the Lord are those who are probably pretty far off. And they've lost that desire, that interest. But those who walk with the Lord have a desire to walk closer. I've noticed today we've sang two of Fanny Crosby's songs. And her desire is, oh, I want to be near the cross. I'm trying to work on a message on a hill too far away. We're too far from that hill called Calvary. I believe with all my heart the Lord wants to reveal our sin this year. That's why the psalmist David said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. He said, Lord, put me to the test and show me, give me the results. Most of the time a test in school was bad news for me, at least while I was lost. Because it revealed how much I had studied or had not studied. It really did not have anything to do so much with how much I was able to learn. I just didn't study, didn't take time. Once I got saved and started studying, I learned that I could learn. But David said, I want you to show me myself. Show me my reins. Show me what tugs me, what motivates me. Show me my motives. I want to see me. I believe that's the Lord's desire. He wants to reveal our true selves to us. Again, the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Show me and lead me in the right way. I believe that these cries from these psalmists is from the work of God in their heart. God put that desire in them. And a prayer came forth that said, Lord, show me me. I don't like that, never do like that, but I need it. I think He wants to show us, reveal to us our sin. Psalm 38:18. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. He says, not only do I want you to show me where I'm wrong and show me where I fail, but when you show me, I'll get right about it. It'll grieve my heart. Now I'll make sure I do the best I can with your help to change some things. Why in the world is the Lord so interested about revealing our sin? I believe he's wanting to reveal our sin because of his control. Sin controls us. So we are a servant to sin when we give in to flesh. Here's what the Lord said, for whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And I understand that. And so do you, if you're honest. When we give in to sin, it does seemingly just takes control of us. And it almost is that we have no influence over our own self or no control of our own self. It's like flesh and sin's just taking over. And God says, I want to show you. You don't have to live like that. I believe in all my heart he wants us to see. That's one of the reasons why preaching sometimes gets hard. The Lord is saying, I want you to see yourself. I'm trying to reveal your failure. I believe he wants to reveal our sin because of his control, but also because of his curse. I thought about this. The Lord said to Adam, cursed be the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it. And he continued on. He said, sin has not only touched you and had an effect on you, it's touched everything around you. It has cursed everything you touch. Everything you see is cursed. And everything, listen, it will not do what it could have done because of your sin. That's the same way with our lives tonight. The sin in our lives hinders that thing that God wants to do around us. It is as though we're cursing our environment. And the Lord said, I don't want that to happen. I don't want you to be under a curse. I want you to be under liberty and a blessing. And he says, I want to reveal your sin. I want to show you when you're doing wrong because I want to lift that curse off of you. I want to be a blesser. I believe he says, I want to reveal your sin because of its control and because of its curse, but also because of its cost. Sin costs. If nothing else, it hinders our fellowship with our God. Oh, I wonder if our life was completely clean and there was nothing between us and our Savior, I wonder how close we would be. I wonder how much we could hear him that we can't hear him now. How much we could experience with him that we don't now. There's a cost to our sin. When we fail, there's a cost involved. The Lord said to David, the sword will never depart from your house because of your sin. And our sin not only hinders our fellowship with the Lord, but it keeps him from doing the best he can for us. It blocks his blessings from us. That's why he says, I want to show you where you're going wrong because I want to bless you. It is costing you. I can't do for you what I want to do. He is a blesser, but he won't bless sin. And he says, I want to show you. I know it will hurt. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to face it, but you need to. I think this evening in 2020, he wants us to see himself and what he wants. And he wants to reveal our sin because he does not want us to be under the cost of sin. David enjoyed sin for a season, but I promise you, he regretted it. Because it costs too much. And we can go so far to say that sin not only will cost us who are believers, it'll cost lost people, for the wages of sin is death. The cost of sin for a lost person is going to hell and then later to the lake of fire and staying there forever. And the Lord says, I don't want you to do that. Can you imagine, do you know anybody that you have wronged them? And they say, will you please come and let me forgive you? if I've wronged you and I've cursed you and talked about you and ignored you and neglected you and abused you and shunned you, are you prone to come to me and say, I want to forgive you for all that? Will you please ask me to forgive you? More than likely not, but God does. He wants to show us our failure so He can forgive us. What a God we have. I say this evening in 2020, the Lord wants to reveal our sin. I'm talking about seeing clearly what God wants, 2020 vision. I believe God wants to reveal our sin. I believe He wants to remove our sorrow. Sorrow is a part of this world. In the recent hours, I had to hang the phone up again, feeling defeated myself and not being able to say something to somebody to make it better. Not having a magic wand to wave and fix the problem. Everywhere you look, there's sorrow and heartache and tears and problems and troubles and heartaches and tears and problems and sorrow and everywhere. And the Lord said, I'm not going to take you out of that sorrow, but I do sure want to help you in the sorrow. I want to give you grace. I want to give you comfort. Psalm 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen, amen, amen. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He says, I'll just carry you right along with you. I'll be right there with you in the dungeon. I'll help you through the wilderness. I'll help you through the pit. I'll help you through the problem. I want to help you through, and we'll get out the other side. I may not take you out of the sorrow. I may not deliver you from the problem, but I can help you through the problem. I believe with all my heart the Lord wants to remove our sorrow. We're hurting more than we should. We're troubled more than we ought to be. We're burdened more than we should be. We're troubled way on beyond where God wants us to be. He wants to help us in our problems. There are things that hurt us, no doubt, but He wants to help us. I say He wants to help us, and He can. He can. And it's okay to accept His help. It's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. It's wrong not to accept the grace of God. Somehow we think we're supposed to be sorrowful. Somehow we think we're supposed to be broken down and burdened. Oh, no. We ought to be concerned. We ought to pray. We ought to have an urgency about needs and sorrows and heartaches and lost people and backslidden people and all that's going on. But we are not to be so sorrowful and so beaten down that we're defeated ourselves. He wants to help us in our sorrow. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, verse 3, my tears have been my meat night and day. He said, I cry all day and then I cry all night. And I get some sleep and I wake up and I'm still crying. He said that in verse 3. But a little bit later on in verse 11, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. And just a few verses before, he said, I am just weeping through the day and night. And in verse 11, he says, what in the world's wrong with you, boy? Hope in God. I say, God's wanting to deliver us from our sorrow. He's wanting to remove us from our sorrow and help us through the crying. Psalm 69, verse 3 says, I am weary of my crying. I have cried so long, I am exhausted. I am so weary, I'm so broken. I'm so beaten down, I can't go on. That's in verse 3. A little bit later on in verse 30, he says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. What happened to both those psalms I was talking about? They started out low, 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 and ended high, high, high because God had helped them in their sorrow. And that's what He wants us to do, trust Him in our sorrow. The songs have already been sung. We can trust Him. He will help us. He will maybe not keep us from the sorrow, but He'll keep us through the sorrow. He wants to comfort. He even calls Himself the Comforter. the God of all comfort. Of all comfort, whatever kind you need, He is that God who comforted us in all our tribulation, no matter what we're going through. Jesus said, I send you another comforter. It means consoler. Listen, I love this. It means to give you quiet, to give you rest. It literally means to lessen the grief. That's our Lord. He wants to remove our sorrow. He wants to carry our burden. He wants us to relieve us of the load. That's what our God's wanting in 2020. I'm talking about seeing 2020 vision, seeing clearly our Savior. What does He want? He wants to reveal our sin, and He wants to remove our sorrow. I believe He also wants to refresh our spirit. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get depressed. I go further. It's hard not to. It is not only easy to get discouraged, it's hard not to. It's not only easy to get depressed, it's hard not to. I ask you this evening, who in this crowd doesn't need some refreshing? Doesn't need a refreshed, renewed desire, new interest in the things of God? Who in this crowd doesn't need a stirring of excitement for the right things of God? I say we ought to be excited about the things of God. I promise you one thing, there's a bunch down there in Miami that's excited right now. There's people all over this country excited right now. And what's going to happen now, I guess, is nothing compared to what God's done in our hearts. And nothing for what He does for us all day long, every day of the week. Oh, I say, but it's still easy to get discouraged, and it's still easy to get beat down, it's still easy to get depressed, and it's still easy to lose your spirit, lose the zeal. Well, our God doesn't want that. He wants to renew our spirit, to stir us again, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. To rekindle the hunger, to renew the excitement, I say again, He wants to and He can. In the midst of our trouble, He can rekindle, refresh our spirit. Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble. Anybody identify? Though I walk through the midst of trouble, Thou will revive me. Boy, it's like I can see walking in mud. Sinking down, barely can move. And He says, I'll come in and revive you. I'll help you keep on going. I believe He wants to renew our spirit. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. This is my comfort in my affliction. For Thy word hath quickened me. Means bring back to life, restore life. I tell you what, that's what God can do. We expect some kind of 1, 2, 3 ABC stuff. You know what God has to do is just, when the Lord moves through here, somebody can be beaten down and troubled and weary and discouraged and disheartened, and God moves through, and all of a sudden they're up praising God, rejoicing, tears are flowing, hands are waving. You know what happened? God touched. God renewed. God brought back forth life. God restored. And that's all He's got to do is go, that's all He, what a blessing it is. And that's what He wants to do in our lives. He doesn't want us beaten down, trudging along. He doesn't want us depressed. And He doesn't want us to be troubled. He wants us to be revived and stirred. I believe He wants to reveal our sin. Show us where we're at so He can help us. I believe He wants to remove our sorrow, get us through what we're going through. I believe He wants us to refresh our spirit, give us zeal again. I believe He wants to renew our strength. It's not just old age, because young people can get tired. But I'm finding out this thing of getting older, it's easier to get weary, tired. worn out. Hey, that can happen physically, but it can happen spiritually. It can happen emotionally. And even though there are burdens, and there's a load, there's responsibility, and there's accountability, and there's things we got to do, and there's things don't work out like we want them to, and prayer requests don't get met as soon as we would like them to, and problems are still around us, and family problems, and work problems, and social problems, and financial problems, and church problems, and this problem, and that problem, and that problem, and it seems like it just wears you out. And then the Lord said, keep fighting. And I think, are you kidding me? I can't even get out of bed spiritually, let alone keep fighting. There's times it feels like we can't hardly stand. Isaiah 40, verse 29 said, he giveth power to the faint. I love that. He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the weary, the tired. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Again, that's him that does it. I say that's what he wants to do. By the way, in case you missed it, just because I hadn't said it, you didn't know it. He ain't going to dump it on us. He ain't going to force it on us, but he will give it to us when we ask him for it. He wants to renew our strength. Listen to this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You find a new strength when you wait on him. Wait suggests, I know he's the only one that can do it. If he wasn't the only one that can do it, I wouldn't wait on him. I'd go somewhere else and get it. Because I guarantee you, I am not a waiter. I don't wait well. But if he's the only source and I need it, what option do I have? And he says, if you'll wait on me, you keep trusting me, I'll give you strength you don't have. He says, and listen to what he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. And just in case you miss it, I'll set it in. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the psalmist talking. With my interjection of a few words. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said, you ain't got nowhere else to go to get it, but so you just got to wait on the one who can get it to you. Wait on him. He gives you renewed strength when you're tired and weary. Oh, I tell you what. Again, it's something he gives us. My peace give I unto thee. My forgiveness I give to you. My strength I give to you. The answer you need I give to you. It comes from him. I say this evening, this year, he's wanting us to see what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to strengthen us, renew our strength. Psalm 138, verse 3, in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me. In the day I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me. Sitting right there just a few minutes ago, I thank the Lord again two times today for answering prayer right here in this church. You don't even know what it was, but I do. I prayed it yesterday. I prayed it last night. I prayed it this morning three or four times, and God answered two times today the same request. I say thank you, God, for that. David said, I cried, and when I cried, he answered me, and he did what I needed. He strengthened me. So here I say, listen to me. Here it is, real profound. Ask him. Ask him. Lord, I can't go on. I don't even want to go on. Let alone going on, I can't go on. I don't even want. I don't even care. I don't even care that I don't care. Oh, God, I need help. And he says, I know. You finally got where you see yourself and you see me. I think he wants to see us to see him. I believe he wants to reveal our sin, remove our sorrow, refresh our spirit, renew our strength, and I believe he wants to reward our service. We should do nothing for the Lord just for the reward. That's selfish. It's making an idol of ourselves. It's a grievance to God. But he does say, if you'll serve me with your heart, as I lead you, I will reward you.
And the Bible's full enough. The Bible says it enough through Paul, through others, that he says, I promise you a reward. And Paul uses that reward as an initiative to serve him. Because serving him, he knew, I know, you know, the Lord knows, isn't easy. And in our day, it's getting more and more difficult. But serving him still right, and serving still is him is still his will.
So he says, if you'll serve me, and you'll do it because you love me, and you'll let me lead you as you're serving me, I promise you there'll be a reward.
And I want to tell you something. When you're serving him in the trenches, when you're serving him when it isn't easy, when you're serving him and it doesn't seem like you're appreciated, when you're serving him and people don't even like it, knowing it's going to one day be worth it makes it worth it now while it's hard. Did you get that?
It should never be our reason for serving him. But it ought to be an initiative to serve him. One day I'm going to be glad.
Listen to what the Bible says. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love.
He said, while you're serving me, especially when it's hard, when you don't want to, when nobody appreciates it, when it seems like it's not doing what you want it to do, he says, I just want to let you know I'm watching and I will make it worth your while. I will not forget your work and labor of love. Psalm 28 verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. He said, you be faithful now and I'll bless you now. The blessing of knowing that God is using you. Oh my. I don't know of any bigger blessing. Honestly, I don't know of any bigger blessing than to be used of God. And I don't know of any bigger burden than to try and do something for God and Him not bless it. Oh, I'm telling you, preachers know, teachers know, singers know, people who witness know. You try, you do the best you can, and it just seems like you have just wasted your time. God said, I just want to let you know, if you serve me faithfully, I'm going to bless you for it. Knowing that he'll use us, what a blessing that is. Knowing that one day I'll be glad that I did it. It may be tough now, but I'll be glad one day. Listen, he blesses us now. Not just one day I'm heading there, but he blesses us now. It's worth it now because you're getting blessings that you wouldn't get otherwise. In other words, it'll be worth it now. I'll be glad that I served him. I'm talking about he wants to reward our service. And be glad now. But we'll be glad then. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They get up early and train and run, eat right, sleep. Do all their training, go through all, they give up so much, these athletes, and they're so devoted to what they're doing, they're so devoted to their track meet or their race or their particular part of the Olympics, and they give their all, and they're doing it to get a little wreath wrapped around their forehead that's going to be wielded in a few days. And most people won't remember their name next year. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I'll tell you one thing. If we do serve the Lord now faithfully, out of love, out of submission to the Spirit, and that day when we're standing before Him probably on our knees and He places that crown on our head and He says, well done. I'm honest, I don't know how I'm going to be able to take it. If I get any crown. But I do know one thing I'll think. I sure am glad I served him. It's not only worth it. It wasn't only worth it down there when the battle was going on. It is worth it now in heaven. For for one reason. I get to lay this crown back at his feet in the future and tell him, oh, it's because of you. Hearing well done. He won't say well done to everybody because everybody ain't done well. We'll be there, but Paul said, my beloved brethren, be it steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here's why. One reason. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'll be honest. There's some people you can do good things. They don't appreciate it. I was talking to somebody yesterday on the phone. They've been trying to help somebody. So far, that person they're trying to help has done nothing but wrong them. I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and a lady called in. Said, we've been trying to help my brother-in-law and bought a truck for him and paid the payments, and he got in trouble and went to jail for 2 years, and now he's been out for 2 years, and now he's totaled the truck, and what should we do? Well, Dave Ramsey, in a very polite way, said, tough. To tell them tough. You don't owe them anything. But here's my point. Some people, you try and do good, it just gets, I mean, you get mud on your face. They don't appreciate it at all. But not your Lord. Not your Lord. He says it's going to be worth it. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe in 2020, he wants us to see some things. Open our eyes. I believe he wants us to see self. See ourselves as we are and deal with it. I believe he wants us to see Satan, our enemy, and how he's trying to defeat us and depress us and harm us and hurt us. I believe he's wanting us to see our Savior and all that God's wanting us to see done in this year. Maybe the last year we live. Maybe the last day we live. But I know this. I want to be faithful to the end. My end's getting closer. Don't know when. But I know this. I've lived longer than I will live. I promise you that. I sure hope so anyway. I don't want to be here at 130 years old. You don't want to see me at 130, I guarantee you. Woo! We've got a good God, and he wants to do good things, but it's not something he's going to force on us. Let's stand together.